This is It's a Love Story. Baby, Just Say Yes. A Star Wars Clone Wars era fanfic, written by Willow Crowned and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Obi-Wan Kenobi, Quinlan Vos, with additional tags for humor, alternate universe, canon divergence. In that, the war ended and Ahsoka came back to Coruscant and no one died horribly. Anakin Skywalker is a hopeless romantic. Everyone else is decidedly not. No beta, we die like me. I just don't get it, Anakin groans. He's crouched behind a large plant pot, high up on the terrace of a restaurant he may or may not have at one point been banned from for disturbing the atmosphere. Below him, in a private, very expensive courtyard, he should know, he used Padme's accounts to pay, are Obi-Wan and Quinlan, finishing a very expensive meal, and being serenaded by a very expensive violinist. Why hasn't he proposed yet? Ahsoka eyes him dubiously. Maybe he's not ready? Of course he's ready! Anakin looks at her, askance. I heard him say he wouldn't mind retiring just yesterday. I thought he said he wanted to retire from being your full-time babysitter.
Same thing.
It is not! Ahsoka hisses. A disturbing thought occurs to her. What did he say to make you think he was going to propose? Anakin is worryingly silent. He said something, right? Anakin looks away from her. Right? Not in so many words. Ahsoka groans. I thought you had actual proof when you organized this dinner. They've been dating for years, Anakin huffs. What else could he be waiting for? Ahsoka looks down into the courtyard, where Quinlan is eyeing Obi-Wan with a look she wants to burn out of her brain, and Obi-Wan has his I'm about to make a cuttingly sarcastic comment face on. She looks back up at Anakin, whose longest and only girlfriend lasted all of 3 weeks before they got married. She looks back down at Obi-Wan, who is now glaring at Quinlan in a way that makes Ahsoka think there's either a broken violin or a bathroom hookup happening in the next 5 minutes. Anakin, Ahsoka says slowly, horror creeping into her voice. Are we even sure they're dating?
What? Of course they are. Obi-Wan went out with him like 3 months ago.
Ahsoka's cheeks turn a bright blue. That wasn't exactly the truth.
Anakin whips his head around from where he's been staring daggers into Obi-Wan's neck. It what?
We were shopping for your birthday present. He said to tell you he was on a date so you wouldn't come looking for him.
Ahsoka brightens, remembering.
But he did go on a date last month.
That was for your birthday,
Anakin says, beginning to look panicked.
It's how he knew to get you that lifetime supply of marsh cubes.
Ahsoka sighs. He really needs to get a new lie.
Below them, Obi-Wan's voice briefly raises to a loud enough pitch for them both to hear him say something about open bars and mistakes before he quiets again.
But, Anakin says, a desperate look around his edges that Ahsoka associates with Obi-Wan's chore wheel and a sink full of dirty dishes.
I mean, maybe they're just not date people. Obi-Wan has never mentioned dating anyone else. Ahsoka pulls on Obi-Wan. She looks down at where the date is still going on. Obi-Wan now has the crazed look in his eye that means victory on the battlefield, and probably not anything close to victory when it comes to romantic dates. Up at Anakin. Then back down to where the violinist is starting to look very uncomfortable. Then back up to Anakin one final time. Anakin, predictably, crumples under the force of her look. "I didn't know," he says plaintively. "And they agreed to come, didn't they?" Ahsoka doesn't make the requisite joke, because A, gross, and B, it would be a very Quinlan move, and she's trying to avoid ending up like him. "You offered them a free 5-course 3-star meal at a restaurant. You have to be a rich celebrity politician to even get into. They'd have to be idiots to pass that up. Even if Quinlan hates fancy restaurants and Obi-Wan hates being at fancy restaurants with Quinlan." She blinks, reconsidering. And Anakin cringes. Well, that's that then. Anakin's refusal to take Obi-Wan's lessons about lying seriously have done him in again. "What did you do?" "I may," Anakin says, suddenly very interested in the wall. "I have told them there was a smuggling ring they needed to collect intel on." Ahsoka likes to think of herself as a quick learner. And she is. She knows how screwed she was getting thrown into Christophsis like that, following Anakin on whatever harebrained mission he and Obi-Wan had come up with. And she knows how doubly screwed she was when the Council tossed her to the dogs altogether. She survived. Maybe not all the better for it. "Maybe," she said to Rex once, shaking with fury and fear in their tiny kitchenette deep in the depths of Coruscant. "Not better at all." And she kept on surviving. And along the way, she learned to tell how and why people were lying, and how to lie herself. Which is why she knows there is no way in all the 7 hells of Naboo that Obi-Wan and Quinlan believed whatever totally shit lie Anakin came up with. Ahsoka keeps her body facing Anakin, but lets her eyes drift down toward Quinlan and Obi-Wan. Togruta vision is about as limited as human, field-wise anyway, but infrared isn't much use to her right now. But she still has peripheral vision. And her peripheral vision can tell her that Quinlan just glanced up to look straight at her. They've been had. "Anakin," Ahsoka asks, "how much did Padme pay for this dinner?"
"She gave me her card," Anakin hisses. "And we're married, so it's not like I stole her money."
"How much?"
"She spends twice as much on makeup, like, every week.
Naboo pigments do not come cheap."
"Anakin."
"4,000.
Ahsoka bodily cringes. "That's 2 months' rent on a nice apartment in an upper-mid layer. Like, nice, with new appliances and hardwood floors and pest control that actually gets rid of the chooky-chooky roaches instead of telling you to go buy traps, and landlords that don't take your deposit back on account of you not cleaning the microwave when you leave."
And Anakin spent it on a date. For 2 people who aren't even together.
"It was an extra 100 for the violinist," Anakin adds morosely. "But it would have been worth it."
He sighs.
"I just want him to be happy, Snips."
"He is happy," Ahsoka says. "And all the happier for your paying for his nice dinner," she thinks, but she doesn't say that part.
Now let's go get ice cream at that shop we saw on the way here. Anakin rolls his eyes at the obvious attempt to cheer him up, but follows her out the window and down the fire escape. And if they happen to wander back toward the restaurant just in time to see Obi-Wan and Quinlan coming out, then he certainly doesn't complain. He especially doesn't complain when Quinlan bends down on one knee in front of a flowering arca tree, its fronds hanging down in showers of tiny leaves and tinier glowing flowers. The sun is set on Quadrant 5 of Coruscant, the last remains of a glorious sunset, just the hints of purple in the west, and the soft pavement lamps of the wide avenue turn the scene golden. Obi-Wan looks down at Quinlan, mouth quirking up into a reluctant smile, and Quinlan winks at him. Then, Quinlan ties his shoe. Later, Ahsoka will tell people that Anakin's disappointment had been a palpable thing, by which she mostly means that she has a bruise where he'd smashed her arm in an attempt to get to Quinlan. It isn't a bad one, as bruises go, and she doesn't really mind that it had been to protect Quinlan from Anakin's wrath, considering he'd been the one to track her through the depths of Coruscant to give her Obi-Wan's parting gift of a few hundred credits, a blaster, and a change of clothes. But she isn't really grateful enough to try to hold Anakin back for longer. Not when it means she gets to watch Anakin yell at him. Obi-Wan doesn't seem surprised by any of it. He's too used to Anakin's everything to be surprised at much of anything he does. But the way he makes his way over to Ahsoka, unsurprised to see her, confirms her theory. "How did you know?" she asks quietly. "That I was there, I mean. Not that Anakin was trying to set you up." Obi-Wan looks over at her, amused. "I could see your mantles over the top of that pot. You really ought to have found a better hiding place." "Anakin's idea," she sighs. "Like the rest of this." Obi-Wan looks over at where Anakin is now berating Quinlan for not knowing what he has, and destroying Obi-Wan's hopes of happiness for keeping him from true love. He looks back at Ahsoka significantly. "I gathered." Ahsoka snorts. Anakin's yelling reaches a new pitch. "You know," Obi-Wan murmurs, "technically, Quinlan and I are already married." Ahsoka blinks, takes a moment to process that new piece of information, and blinks again. "Why?"
"We had a 15-hour layover on Corellia. It seemed appropriate."
He pauses. "Don't tell Anakin."
The end. Arthur's nuts. What Obi-Wan isn't saying about the layover on Corellia is that it only happened because they ran off to get married and missed their flight. And they only ran off to get married because there was an open bar on the ship that took them to Corellia. Paragons of decorum and restraint, they are not.